So here we are, number two in our How to Understand the King James 1611 Bible series. I have no idea how long it will go. I never thought that the gospel one last time, how to get something out of the Old Testament, would last 2 years. But I said we're going to try to pressure ourselves, or pressure you, or pressure all of us, to understand these verses and to know where they are and to be able to use them. So let's do this. Here's something, and you tell me the Bible verse that you think it's at. If something, if we're talking to somebody about the preservation of the Word of God, where would we go to find the verse that talks about His Word being preserved? Number two. I am. I'm always too quick. Number one is, where do you find in that Bible the verses about His words being preserved? Okay, number two. What is the name of another Bible that also says His words will be preserved? A, NIV, B, ASV, C, CEV, or 4, none of the above, or 5, all of the above. I can't repeat that one. It'll give away the answer. But number two is, what's the name of the Bible version that also tells that there should be, His Word should be preserved? NIV, CEV, ASV, none of the above, or all of the above? Number three. Where in the Bible does it tell us that Word of God is the sword of the Spirit? See, I could give you the verses, and that would make it a lot easier. This is totally unprepared, one of those pop quizzes. Give you all the verses to pick from, and I'll bet you that would help you. But we'll just start off bad, then your quizzes after this will get better. Where does it talk about the sword being the spirit of the sword of the Spirit? Number four, we talked about the fact that the Old Testament, the Gospels, they had to believe that Jesus was the Messiah, that He was the Son of God. What verse in the book of Acts that repeats that the Ethiopian eunuch believed that Jesus was the Son of God, and that he believed in that shows his salvation as such, he could get baptized. What verse is that? Number five. Okay, number five. What verse talks about that which is perfect is come? It has to be the King James Bible based on all the other verses that go along. What verse is that that says that which is perfect is come? When that which is perfect is come, all that is done in part will be done away, kind of a thing. Where's that at? What verse in that is that? And then along with that, where in the Bible do you find, that we talk about anyway, the word perfect being defined as finished, as completed? Where do we find that reference to define the word perfect? It's an Old Testament verse. It goes way back to Solomon's temple and everything. Number seven, who is it that according to 1 Thessalonians 2:13 will the Word of God work on when they read it? God will be able to work on them. The Spirit of God will work them, the little hearts and their minds and things. Where does that, I mean, who is it that Word of God will work in them? Who is it that will be worked in? And that's in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Who is it that when they read the Bible, God is able to work on their hearts and their minds and everything? That's seven. Where is the verse in the Bible that tells us that we need to rightly divide the word of truth? You want to show some of that? Bible says, rightly divide the word of truth. Oh, here we go. Where in the Bible, what book, chapter, verse, if you can remember all three of them, does the Bible say that his word is magnified up even above his name? His word is magnified above his name. One more. Oh, I know. According to Psalm 119, I got to get the right verse here. According to Psalm 119. The entrance of the word of his words, of thy words, will give understanding unto who? The verse goes like this: if the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the who? Okay. Now, I would ask you to hand your paper to the person to your left, but that would just really fumble up the whole room tonight, so we won't do that. Answer number one, Psalm 12, 6 and 7. You have to be honest here tonight. You have to just be willing to say, I got that one wrong. But anyway, Psalm 12, 6 and 7. Number two, there are no other Bibles that talk about Bibles being preserved, the Word of God being preserved. There are none that I've seen. They talk about the people being preserved. God will preserve His own people. That's what they talk about. Number three is Ephesians 6:17. Yes, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, okay? And number four is Acts 8:37. That's the one that's missing in their Bibles. No. Nope. Number five is 1 Corinthians 13:10. Number six is 2 Chronicles chapter 8, verse 16. Not 15, but verse 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 8, verse 16. Number seven, it works. The Word of God will work in them that believe. Number eight, 2 Timothy 2:15. That's where rightly dividing is talked about. 15 and 16, actually. And number nine is Psalm 138, verse 2. And then number 10 gives light, gives understanding unto the simple. Okay, we're doing number two of how to understand the King James Bible. We're walking rightly through the Bible, but I'm going to change that on the website to how to understand the King James Bible. Maybe that'll perk some people. I don't know. And so tonight, those are verses we talked about this morning. I really enjoyed that. See, I don't enjoy this as much. I can even tell the difference right here because I'm up here and you're down there and I don't like that. I really enjoy just talking about this stuff. So let's just add some more verses to our list. And this is number two on the website, how to understand it. We're talking about the fact that we need to have a Bible. And yet the Bible is not a biblical word. The Scriptures, the words of God, the Word of God. In fact, Here's what's referenced in the Bible. It's called the Word of God, the good Word of God, the Word of thy lips, Word of the Lord, Word of His grace, Word of the gospel, Word of the kingdom. Are you getting these down? This was our first track umpteen years ago. So pull that out of the dust and you can get them up here. Because Word of the Lord Jesus, Word of Christ, Word of His power, Word of promise, Word of faith, Word of wisdom, Word of knowledge, Word of reconciliation, Word of truth. Where do you find Word of Truth? One verse. You should know this. Word of God. Nope. What comes? The gospel of your salvation, the Word of Truth? Ephesians 1. Okay, there's that one. Anyway, Word of Life, Word of the Oath, the Word of Exhortation, the Word of Righteousness, the Word of thy righteousness, Word of Prophecy, Word of my patience, Word of Life, the Truth of the Gospel. That references all to the Word of God. And you know what? I'll be honest with you, kind of a stuff. I had a hard time at the very beginning when I heard somebody say the words of God. the Word of God and the words of God. It took me a while to get that. Remember, I believed in Santa Claus till fifth grade and all that kind of stuff. I had a hard time with this getting this concept of the Word of God. Yeah, this is the Word of God, words of God. And it seems so silly because we know what that means. It's the words of God. But I'd never heard that before, ever. And it just took me a while to get the conscience, I guess. I don't know. Maybe too much music in our brain or something. Any more verses now on referring to the Scriptures or to the Word of God or whatever? Anybody want to throw some more Scriptures out here? We've got some more to go over, so what are some more? Silence is not golden here. Anybody typing anything? Go ahead and type up something. We'll try to figure out a way to get you folks involved out there. But how about the one that talks about the four benefits or the four purposes or the four goals, whatever, the four objectives of the Scriptures? You know, what, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, doctrine? Where's that at? I'll look at the seat and nobody feels pressured. 2 Timothy 3.16. Just remember 2 Timothy 2.15 is the rightly divided. 2 Timothy 3.16 and 17 is the purpose of the Scriptures. See that there? You've got doctrine. And actually, that's probably one of our most important verses, because where do we go for our doctrine? Where do we go for reproof? Where do we go to be corrected? Where do we go to find out what we should be doing? And that's got to be the Scriptures. That verse should be on your seating, right underneath your fan, and to watch things like that. That's a big verse there. That's 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. See, now there's that. Look at that last verse. Look at verse 17. That the man of God may be perfect. There it is again. Perfect, meaning no errors in our life, meaning the sinless walking people. No, complete, finished. And look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So how is he going to do that? He's going to do that through the Scriptures, because he's going to help us be completed, to be finished. He's going to keep working on us till we're done, being down here. And he's going to work on us through the Bible. There it is. I would say, because I'm kind of skipping the, kind of jumping ahead here a little bit, but one of the verses, I'll save it until I get to it here. Because, where's it at here? I'll just remember when we get to it, I hope. We want to remember Philippians 1, 6, okay? Anybody, who's out there again? We got, Floyd aren't there, right? Okay, but, okay. So White Cotton, this is part two. You missed part one. I'll get that online soon enough here. How about another verse that deals with the Word of God? We got 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, and 2 Timothy 2, 15 and 16. Anything else? You mentioned one earlier, Marilyn, about in the Old Testament. It wasn't Andy. It was... No, that's... No, you had mentioned... See, it was Andy. Something in Andy. Amos. There we go. What do we have in Amos chapter 8? That's talking about the Word of God, the words of the Lord, actually. What are we looking forward to now in their day that was going to take place? But a famine coming. A famine of what? It says in verse 11, 8:11, of not of bread, nor of a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Why would that be? Well, if you look in verse 12, they're going to be looking for the word of the Lord and they can't find it. And it says they'll be running to and fro. And they'll faint for thirst. The young, the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst.
Water thirst? No, thirst for the Word of God.
And what do we have today? We're so close to the famine mentality, they don't want to hear it. But they don't have to run to and fro yet, to and far, to and fro. What is it? They don't have to run to and fro quite yet. But they have to run to and fro to find a church that'll preach it. And so what is that? Hearing of the words of the Lord. They have a hard time finding a church that will preach to hear it preach the words of the Lord. They can't hear it anymore. So the famine can exist amongst all these churches. So it's not that church is going to disappear. And they're going to be out there all over the place. They're just not going to be preaching the words of the Lord. Okay, how about any more? Don't be afraid to yell it out. Okay, I didn't quite hear that. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. This Ephesians chapter 1, kind of saved that one for the end of the thing about Bible talking, because that's quite a verse. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. We talk about trusting in Christ in verse 12. And then we get right into 13. In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So the word of truth would have to be the scriptures. It would have to be the word of truth. And it says that that is the gospel of our salvation. That's a very important verse right there for a King James Bible believer. Now, do you see what you see? Like, for example, the one that talks about in Thessalonians that it will work in them that believe. We see that it does action when it comes to a sword, cutting away the flesh and the soul and the spirit. We see that it's the gospel of one salvation. And we see that the King James Bible, the arrival of that thing, shut down all the other stuff that God was doing up until that time with people. Very powerful book. It kind of explains why the devil doesn't like it. It's actually an active book. It shows us the truth of salvation. It points out which Jesus is the real one. It shows the fact that His Word must do the spiritual circumcising. Is that the Word that you have? We also realize that if we want to, we need to follow Paul and we'll receive the God of peace. So I think there's a lot more in the salvation thing than most people really want to realize. And for some reason, pastors don't want to talk about it. I think it's probably one of the most deceptive things in this world because the Bible has been taken away. What's been taken away? The word of truth. The gospel of salvation has been taken away from people. If that King James Bible is the Word of God. So if it's not, then we're just barking up a wasted tree. But I have no doubt whatsoever, because as I look at these verses and I see what's not in the other Bibles, there's a serious thing. Now, for example, any more Bible verses you got? Okay. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 tonight, just for a couple minutes here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. It's that verse, study to show thyself approved unto God. That's our verse. Very important verse. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Okay, so if you don't study the word of truth and you don't rightly divide this thing, you're not going to be approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Okay, so there's no reason to be ashamed because we have a rightly divided Bible. We should know what's going on. And then he says the key phrase, rightly dividing the word of truth. Then he goes on and it says, but shun profane and vain babblings. So if it's part of verse 15, because the word but, so rightly divide the word of truth, shun profane and vain babblings. So something that is not rightly dividing the word of truth will be profane and vain babblings. And they will increase into more ungodliness. And we've come to realize that ungodliness is not in our appearance or our language is something. It's actually a truth. It's a belief. It's a teaching. And that's in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. There's a definition of what godliness is. So anything ungodly would be more than just bad appearance. It would be a false teaching. It would be a modern Christianity. It would be a godliness without the power thereof. It would look godly, but there would be nothing there. Now, here's what I thought I would do with you tonight. I'm going to read you different Bible versions of what they say about that verse. Just like Psalm 12, 6, and 7 doesn't say to preserve the words of the Lord, it says it will preserve His people. That's not right. That doesn't know what that verse is supposed to say. Its context is about words. Same thing with 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. And I think you'll recognize by reading these verses like this, if you can hear these and not read them, that kind of a thing, I think we'll start to recognize what's going on in modern Christianity. Because this is what they're doing. Well, they're trying to do this, put it this way, different versions. Okay, so King James, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Here we go, NIV, which is probably one of the most popular Bibles today. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. Think about that. Do your best to present yourself. In other words, good works. It's all this is good works. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, meaning you should do what it is that God would have you to do, and we're going to get that commandments and da-da-da-da. Okay? I'm only going to do these in little segments instead of reading the whole thing. Now, instead of rightly dividing the word of truth, they say in the NIV, correctly handle the word of truth. Correctly handle it. In other words, make sure you know what you're doing with it, kind of a thing. So that's kind of odd. Shun profane and vain babblings, they say, avoid godless chatter. That's very spiritual. And then where it says in King James, increase into more ungodliness, they say, avoid godless chatter from those who indulge in it. For those who indulge in it, the godless chatter, will become more and more ungodly. Worldly, earthly, ungodly. That's NIV. So we're going to talk to people about rightly dividing, and their Bible doesn't even tell them to do it. So you already come to a dead end. Unless you talk about what? King James Bible again. It's all going to come back to the King James Bible. Here's an NASB, New American Standard Bible. Instead of study to show thyself approved unto God, they say, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. Be diligent. Works again. Instead of rightly dividing the word of truth, they say accurately handling the word of truth. And then instead of shun profane and vain babblings, they say avoid worldly and empty chatter. So the NIV says godless chatter, and the NASB says worldly and empty chatter. Instead of correctly handle, they say accurately handling. And instead of do your best, it says be diligent to present yourself approved. And then it says at the end that will lead to further ungodliness. Further ungodliness. Now, question. We might as well have before I forget it here. This is why they don't ever compare these new Bibles to themselves. They still have to go back to the King James Bible. The only reason that I've read legally why they have to do what they do, so instead of saying do your best to present, they say be diligent to present yourself. Instead of saying correctly handle, they say accurately handling. Instead of godless chatter, they say worldly and empty chatter, and it will become more and more ungodly, and they say lead to further ungodliness. They've changed enough words to be able to do what? Publish to sell a Bible. I forget what the percent of words is, but there's a certain percentage of words they have to change in order to make it a legitimate book that they can sell. Otherwise, it's copyrighted. So it's 50% or 80% or 30% on what the number is. And you've got all these different Bibles. They do a lot of changing to make it so they can make their Bible saleable. As far as doctrine goes, they only ever compare themselves to what? King James Bible. And that was the thing that got me thinking years ago. They're comparing us to King James Bible. There must be something about that King James Bible. That was my first thought. Now here we go. This is the Message Bible. You hate to call it a Bible, but that's why it's not a sacred word. It's a collection of books, and this is the one called The Message. This is the one that's very filthy, dirty worded and everything, and this is the one that Rick Warren really recommends, so it says a lot. Instead of the study, show thyself approved, they say, concentrate on doing your best for God, work you won't be ashamed of. Instead of rightly dividing, they say, laying out the truth, plain and simple. laying out the truth, plain and simple. Instead of shun profane and vain babblings, they say, stay clear of pious talk. Words are not mere words, you know. Did you know that? No, you should know that. It says right here, stay clear of pious talk. Words are not mere words, you know. That's how God's speaking. Then it says, instead of increasing to more ungodliness, it says, if they are not backed by a godly life, they accumulate as poison in the soul. Now, you know where you could go with that. Are you living a godly life? Again, in all those details. And then if you're not, all the stuff that you're doing wrong is accumulating as poison in your soul. Not careful, you can lose your... That's where they go with that. Okay, now here's the Amplified. See what they're doing? It's works. It's do the best you can. Nowhere does it say what is good, what is the right thing to be doing. But if you study to show thyself approved, meaning you can learn that Bible and you will know what would be approved to God. In fact, doesn't Paul even say that in Philippians? He says, in this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense. And if we're able to do that, the only way we can do that is the right to divide this Bible. And they're trying to stay away from that thing. Because you know, words are not mere words, you know. Okay. Amplified. This is the one that adds tons of words to these verses. It's almost, if it wasn't so serious, it'd be a funny book to read, you know, really. Study and be eager. Do your utmost to present yourself to God approved. Parentheses, tested by trial. That was the one right there, tested by trial. But I forgot why. Over here. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform until the day of Jesus Christ. And then we read where it's the scriptures that God's going to work us through. Reproof and correction and doctrine and the instruction of righteousness. But God is going to show us how to grow and learn from his long-suffering and his goodness. And teach us these things in this Bible. And they put the tested by trial. That's Peter. Those folks will be tested by trial. So they just kind of threw that. That's a kind of a dispensational mess up in there. Then instead of rightly dividing, they say accurately analyzing and accurately dividing, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. So I'd like to have all that memorized next week. Accurately analyzing and accurately dividing, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. So here it is so far. Study and be eager. Do your utmost to present yourself to God approved, tested by trial, accurately and accurately analyzing and accurately dividing, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. Memorize for your panel lesson tomorrow. Then instead of shun profane and vain babblings, they say avoid all empty, vain, useless, idle talk. And why? Because it will lead people into more and more ungodliness. That's, they add in words for that thing. Here's the New Living Translation. Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive His approval. Okay, rightly dividing the word. No, it said, be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. Correctly explains. Then they say, avoid worthless, foolish talk. That only leads to more godless behavior. See, now we have godless and godliness referring to behavior. See? Now, it's funny because these people that have these Bibles, they don't care about this stuff, but this is what their Bibles say. So if somebody becomes a serious Christian based on these Bibles, it's all about their works. And ours should be too, but not for our salvation at all. The New King James Bible, well, you know the New King James Bible, that must just have a few these and thous. By the way, what's the reason, for why is these and thous so important to have in our Bible, Bob? First time you can sweat over, the second time you need to be pouring blood out of your eyes. What's the thing on the these and the thous, and the yees and the yeas? What was that?
Plural and singular.
Oh, that's good. Now, what's plural?
The yeas.
And what's singular?
The
thous. T. The T. Right. Relax. This is okay. I've been there. I can do it to you now. I've been there. Yeah. Underneath, yep. Make sure the button. Uh-oh. There we go. So the New King James Bible should just really be very close, shouldn't it? I mean, it really should just be really close. It's not a big change. They just change the these and the thous, which are singular and plural. Okay. We're on TV. Cut, cut, let's do that again. So, Bob, what do we have to do? What is the...
Oops, underneath, I know. It's still underneath.
Here we go. New King James Bible, which is very, very close to a King James Bible, so they say, but we know it's not. And they say, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. They don't even say that. They do say, rightly dividing the word of truth, and shun profane and idle babblings, increase to more ungodliness. Now, to something and unto something. It's a grammar thing. I know there's a difference. I don't know what it is, though. To and unto. They change it to instead of unto. Unto God. Unto God. Or to God. So just let that sink in. I'll work on that one. Do you know that from school or anything? Unto and to? T-O, not T-W-O. Do you?
I think to means changing into something. Unto is sending something towards something. You're adding to the pile if you put on to. If you change to that, you'll be changing this into that. Change it to something else.
To puts it as an equal part, and
unto
puts it as an
empire in the new. That's good. Excellent. That's good. So it still should be unto, and they change all the untos to two.
Make it equal instead of.
Yeah, very, very excellent. See? Very good. The New Covenant version. You know, the New Century version. New Century. Make every effort to give yourself to God as the kind of person He will approve. Works again. Use the true teaching in the right way. Okay? Stay away from foolish, useless talk, because that will lead people further away from God. American Standard, which is what when I was a kid, that was a big newbie. Give diligence to present thyself approved unto God. We know that one. Handling aright the word of God, word of truth. Shun profane babblings, what they leave out. Yeah, okay, so that's vain. And they will proceed further in ungodliness. In, instead of unto. Okay, the Darby Bible. Strive diligently to present thyself approved to God, a workman that has not to be ashamed, cutting in a straight line the word of truth. There you go. That's the king in Jeremiah. So rightly dividing, no, it's called cutting in a straight line the word of truth. Now, really, I wouldn't know how to, if Olivia or somebody were to say to me, what does that mean? I really don't know. Cutting in a straight line, okay. I mean, I guess what it means is you want to cut in a straight line. How you can spiritually like cutting in a straight line the word of truth. Profane, vain babbling shun, for they will advance to greater impiety. Remember, these Bibles are supposed to be easier to understand. For they will advance to greater impiety. I'm going to figure that impiety looks like pious, more religious lifestyle. Impiety, it would be im is probably means less, so impiety means less piousness or something. I don't know. I'm winging this thing. That's what I figured that would mean, because I'm going to look it up, because I'm too lazy. So we just figure out, that's easier for me to get. I don't want to be more impious. So, I might look, I'm kind of curious, but anyway. And then the NIV. We already did the NIV. Well, this is the NIV from England. Two different NIVs, of course, because you got to talk and drink tea and stuff. Kind of weird when you're from England. So they must have to have a different Bible. Can you talk like they talk? Try it.
Yes.
Yeah. Invite me over for tea the way they would do.
Invite you over for tea the way they would
do? Well, yeah. No, say it was a fire. It was a forest fire in England.
You run, lads, run. There fire coming out.
There you go. There you go. It's the lads that work. It's the lads. Yeah. If we hear lads, we'll think it's somebody's dog. Lastly, the NIV in England. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, who correctly handle the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter. Those who indulge... Here we go.
How do you do this? Those?
Those
come here. Come on up here. Come on up here. Come on, come on, come on, come on. We won't tell your family anything about it. It's got the right wording. I can see it here. Those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. You can do that in the little British thing.
Those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly, Governor.
Well, thank you very much, lad. Very good.
Very good.
Yes. Sehr gut. Wrong war. Wrong side of the war. There we go. Yeah, wrong side of the war. Okay. The only Bible that's got is the King James Bible. So if you're looking for some way to pull up this King James Bible thing, whether the other Bibles, that's the only Bible that says that. Well, then why do we have to have it? Because that's how you understand your Bible. Now, take your paper that we had your quiz over. For those that were here for the quiz, anyway, you can just draw on the table for those that weren't, and then you can repaint it. Here's what I'd like you to do. We have some more paper for you. Yep. Well, okay. I mean, first time he's ever done what he was told in school. Paper's right over there. And draw on that. Oh, of course. Sam? Hello, Sam. Wake up. There you go. Run back a page for Sam there, would you, Austin? Okay. Boy, I can tell you're not in track. Cross country. That's Stephen. Stephen's not out there, right? The Ezel Druzzle name on there? Okay. He'll listen to us later, I hope. Okay, so draw a line from left to right or right to left. Depends on how you want to look at it. And on that line, as simple as possible, don't go in. Well, I guess you do whatever you want, but you just pretend you're talking to somebody who's never heard of rightly dividing. You've always heard this present yourself or having tea with the lads, and whatever. And put down some of the divisions that you think that you can see that would be rightly divided divisions. As a Bible. Of just your Bible. Time wise as well as Bible. I mean, where's this rightly divided division stuff? Where does it fit in? Draw, I'll be quiet. For those of you out in radio land, we have to be quiet here, but we ask the families here to write down the rightly divided chart. So if you're doing that out there in radio land, draw a straight line across the dust on the table and then put some vertical lines where the divisions would be historically as well as scripturally. Okay, so I'll be quiet. Okay, we're ready? Okay. You know, all you have to do is draw some vertical lines and then you can just people are looking over. Oh, he's got 14 of them over there. Okay, my thoughts. We'll try to do this in the right direction here. At the beginning, you've got a little bit over and you got Adam and Eve. Right? Okay, so you got Adam and Eve, because what they had to do, we certainly don't have, although the guy from Hallelujah Acres thinks if we ate like they did, we'd be healthy, we wouldn't get sick. Anyway, then you go over another little notch and you got Noah's little time in there. And that time in Romans chapter 2 talks about the fact that the Gentiles, which they all were at the time, were judged by their conscience. Because they didn't do all the stuff that Adam did, and we talked about that in Romans chapter 2. So you got Adam and Eve, and then you got Noah. Then you got in, Abram was told what he was told, and there were going to be Jews from Israel from that point on. Where's that at in the Bible? Genesis 12, I think it is. So we can throw that little drizzle in there, that little dribble. That's where that all got started. People ask, where did the black person come from? My question is, knowing that the physical characteristics are so different of a Jew and a Gentile, that here's Abraham, and now boom, we got a different set of people. Physically again. I know they had to do the circumcision thing, but there's more to it than that. These people they look different. Do they all of a sudden go and things just kind of change on them when they were doing that? That's some of the things in the Bible time that's pretty interesting to me. But that's where the Jew began with Abram, into Abraham, and then so there's that. There's not a division. It's just right there from here point on. And then you have who do you have showing up here pretty soon? You got this Moses guy that has the Ten Commandments. So the law is in there. That all shows up with Moses. By the way, right after Abram, you can have what? You can have two people. Isaac, and who the other one would you mention in there? Ishmael, because that kind of shows that division in there. You can tell people, kind of throw that in for a sidelight, little things like that. Okay, so then we've got Adam and Eve, then you've got Noah, then you've got Abraham, Abraham, Ten Commandments, Moses, and that type of thing. And then there's all sorts of people in there, which we'll do Sunday. And then we got this great big line of the Old Testament. Then you got the Gospels. But we learn from Hebrews chapter 9 that doctrinally and spiritually as such, the Old Testament doesn't begin until the end of the Gospels. So why didn't they put the Bible like that? I don't know. I just know what it says in Hebrews chapter 9. And we've seen the doctrine in the Gospels, and it is different than what Paul preaches. And Paul says, if you don't preach what I'm preaching, then it's wrong, it's accursed. Well, it doesn't mean that the Gospels are accursed. It just means that if you try to teach that today to follow people, they'll go to hell. They're not going to get the real Christ. Isn't that wild? I've come to believe that without a shadow of a doubt. Wouldn't get much support on that thing, but that's how important that rightly dividing is. Why else would Paul say in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, they received the God of peace? That's a big one, that little God of peace instead of just the peace of God. Okay, anyway, so you got the Gospels. And then we know that at the end of Matthew and the end of Mark, Jesus tells his disciples, his apostles, to go out into the world and tell them what he's taught them. So, because God told Abraham, your nation, your seed, is going to bless all the nations out there, and the Jews are about to go do that. So, they take off in the Great Commission, and we got that line, end of the Gospels then, Old Testament to the Gospels. And then we just go a little ways. How far do we go? Acts 1 through 8, a little zip right in, draw another line. That's where the Great Commission took place. And that's Acts chapters 1 through 8. And I'll tell you, that's the apostles' doctrine. That's where the apostles are persecuted. And that's where it got started, and that's okay. Because Paul talks about that. Okay, then you've got, from Acts chapter 9 on, you've got, actually, all the way to Philemon. All the way to Philemon. Even though I put a dotted line after Acts, because we want to tell people that's not the safest place to do doctrine. That's a historical transition that's taking place in that time. That'd be my comment. What do you mean? Well, the first part of Acts is what it says, and then I have to show to somebody, we have to try to explain to somebody, really, rightly dividing means we've actually gone beyond Paul. Because somewhere in Paul's books in there, you've got this big space up there, especially Romans and Philemon, but Acts is where a lot of these books took place, was in the middle of Acts, right? I mean, Acts is a historical book. It isn't a book that just came before all these other books. Some of those books were written in the midst of the book of Acts. That's why when Paul talks about speaking in tongues in Corinthians, that was the first part of Acts when that was written. Not the Acts 1 through 8, but in his first part of his ministry. Still talking to Jewish people for science. Okay, so anyway, and I say to folks, we have to realize to go beyond Paul, because if we're going to just say Paul as is, then we should be touching, we should be healed, we should be laid out of hands, we should be baptizing, and then lay hands on them and have them get the Spirit after that, which is exactly what Pentecostals say. I hear you're saved. Have you received the Spirit of God yet? And the only place they get that from is from early Paul. Yeah, but it's Paul. That's why, to me, 1 Corinthians 13:10 has to be the Bible, the Word of God, the King James Bible, has to be. Because that's the only thing that you could show that would explain why in Paul's time they were still given an understanding. They were still given, in part, these things. Signs went out, or speaking in tongues went out, because he was talking to Gentiles, and Jews need the signs. So that fizzles anyway because of that. But God given them knowledge, and God given them the prophecy, the preaching stuff, what to tell people, these prophets and stuff, that all took place in Paul's day. So when we say we follow Paul, we have to make sure that we tell people, listen, we follow Paul through a King James Bible. And that eliminates all that, the Lord's Supper, the baptisms, the laying on of hands, the whole spiel that takes place in those days. Why do they have to do the Lord's Supper? To remember. Well, they gave him a Bible. What's there to remember? It's all right here. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so at the end of Paul's books, then we have the tribulation. You got Hebrews, you've got James,
First, Second Peter, First, Second, Third John, and Jude. Then you got the line. Then you got Revelation, which I write down past, present, future. Because you said you got the past in that book, you've got the present, and you got the future. That's rightly dividing. Basic, bottom line, rightly dividing. Even though we know that all those other books, Hebrews and James and 1st, 2nd John and 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, was all written back in the days of the gospel, end of the gospel, because after the gospel, there those guys are. So how did that all of a sudden get over to here? Poof. That's the pause that refreshes. That's Paul's rightly dividing in there. Don't be afraid to tell people when they, well, how did Peter and John get way over here at the end then? You just tell them, well, if God hadn't gone to the Gentiles through Paul, this whole section would have been gone and would have gone right into the tribulation, right into what eternity and the whole, there would have gone. But they rejected his son, so Paul goes off to, or Jesus then goes off to Paul. And by the way, where are the verses in that little section that says where Jesus went and met with Paul? We'll pick those up later as we go. So there's your rightly divided. Did you have all that? Did you have those in there? Do we have to add a few more things? Now, turn your paper over. I guess you can't because you've already got... Well, you can still turn it over. And draw that line again. And for those of you out on the website, we're done. It's been nice. It's been real, and it's been real nice. I hope you can draw your line. We're going to just draw the line one more time, and then we'll dismiss. So if you want to go ahead, you can go. Otherwise, we're just going to sit here quietly and draw that line one more time and see if we can remember all those things that we yacked about just then. Are we done? Then... Here you go again real quick. You got Adam and Eve. You tell me. First one on the left would be who? Then you've got Noah. With Moses, the law, Ten Commandments in there. Then Abraham. Then you got the... You can throw those guys in there if you want. We've got a bunch of more we'll throw in there later. And you come to the... Which is the big one. Got the Old Testament. But we want to make sure people realize this at the end. I guess the span between there. Then you've got...
And then 1 through 8.
1 through 8 is the Great Commission. Then you've got Paul.
Acts 9 through Philemon.
Philemon. Reminding people, of course, that through Acts is all part of the whole next section anyway, so they're kind of dropped in their different places. And so the doctrine actually comes from Roman to Philemon. But the confusion comes in Corinthians because there's things that he did that he didn't do by the time he was done. And yet he mentions to Timothy that, remember when you laid your hands on him, that you got to receive this gift kind of stuff. Well, that was way back at the early part of the thing. Paul didn't do that anymore. So there's actually a transition that takes place in Paul's teachings. The only way to explain that thing would be 1 Corinthians 13:10. And then you got the stuff at the very end. Okay. I thought of something that came up. If you want to draw in there, in the Moses section there, the law, and then in Paul's section, the law is gone for righteousness. It's still there for lost people to realize that they're a sinner. Major change, major shift for people to see that. And because we're so visual oriented, I'd be willing to bet that this kind of a chart would do you better to sit down with somebody. And don't be afraid to say, can I show you something? Can I just give me 5 minutes? I want to draw something for you. And then just jump in there and they'll say, well, I've never seen that like that before. You know? Wonder how you would draw it the way the modern teachers teach that thing. You've got Old Testament, line, Jesus' teachings. There's our stuff right there. I don't know why we got these Paul books over there. I suppose they must go along with the Gospels, but they never read them because they don't fit. It just doesn't fit. But they don't know that. And they would tie all that stuff. And we got the writing dividers that carry... not just Paul's teachings, but past the Gospels. They understand the death in the New Testament, but they go all the way to the end then. Bring in Hebrews, and you bring in 1st, 2nd Peter, James, and 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Jude. That's all part of the thing. Those are different doctrines. They're just different teachings in there. There has to be an explanation. It's not from Paul. Anyway, there you go. This is the follow-up to the sermon number 2, How to Understand the King James Bible. That was some stuff on rightly dividing back in those early days, but we were getting it. How'd you do on the quiz? Those verses are tremendously important. Very powerful verses.
notice how they emphasize works. You know, you study your Bible. You know, you read your Bible. You do diligently to present yourself. You do everything you can to make yourself be the right Christian. That's totally works. So we understand that the Bible does tell us, you know, how to live properly. I understand that. And yes, we should. But we've learned over the time, that's why I say I want to do these follow-ups here. We've learned that not only do you study to show thyself approved. So you read that King James Bible rightly divided. You know what you learn? You learn that you are approved. You are already approved. That's the point here. Sure, study to show thyself approved is not really telling us. Yeah, we need, the Bible's there for us to learn how to walk a Christian life, no doubt. But we don't have to do that stuff to be approved. We find out that Christ took care of sin, spiritual circumcision, all those things that we learn, we find out from our studies that we are actually approved. But the only way you can come to that conclusion is by rightly dividing. So, does that make sense? Yeah, we're rightly dividing the word of truth. That's the King James Bible. And the key is we're supposed to shun this other stuff. And this other stuff is good. It's human psychology. We've learned stuff about ourselves, of course, over time, you know. But the Lord says in His words that if it isn't from a King James Bible, because that is the word of truth, that's the Scriptures, right? Then anything else, we're to shun. And that's books, that's the other Bible versions, because they're not from God. They're not, and they have nothing to do with rightly dividing. So if we could just get ourselves as Christians to follow His word, shun. If we could just get ourselves to despise what this religion. I mean, everywhere I go, especially with my family, I'm hearing their desire to make this religion work. That's why they're willing to listen to the Native American stuff, and they see what their spiritual stuff going on there. So my brother, you know, he builds a circular garden, so he walks around in circles and does his meditation, because Indians do that. See, and it's supposed to be a good thing. Religion is somehow trying to figure out how to get themselves to understand God. And Paul simply says, no, you guys have an unknown God. You have no idea what you're doing. And then he goes into detail. So we are to shun this stuff. We are to despise and destroy this magnificence of this religion stuff. We are to withdraw from it. We are to avoid from it. And so what I want to tag on here is the concept of us as King James people, Paul following people. I received an email, and I understand the concern is when you go to talk to these people that have different Bible versions, your friends, even your own specific family members, it just doesn't click, and it makes them mad at you. You know, it's just whatever I have to say, and it was said in this email, nice, you know, it was a nice, well-written thing. I'm not trying to pick on or slam or attack or anything here. You really can't send people to me. And this is funny because that was a problem I had when I was doing Dr. Ruckman stuff. Dr. Ruckman, why do you have to be so rude? You know, I can't send people to your books and stuff. Well, see, it's not now that I'm that rude and mouthy and offensive. At least I don't think I am. I think I get over that stuff. But see, it's the truth that hurts people. It's the truth that offends people. And we have to still show them these things. We just have to be wise about it. We have to. We'll talk about that in a second here. What we have to not do is give them a reason for us to be offensive to them. I mean, they say they listen to anybody. We should be able to have tolerance for everybody, and that's fine. But they don't have that towards us. And it's not us. It's the spiritual battle that's going on. The Bible has the Spirit of God behind it. These other Bibles don't. It's just that simple. These other Bibles are of the devil. Now here we go. Here's my point. I got 10 points. It won't take long. Here I got 10 or who knows how many points about when we go to other Bibles, or what they call Bibles, or other books, you know, from Max Lucado, this kind of stuff, to help us in our understanding. And let me show you why that is. That's wrong. It's a lack of trust is what it is. Now here we go. Here's some things here. First of all, Number one, do you understand totally the importance of the King James Bible? Those are those verses we went through. It's the word of truth. It's that which is perfect. It's preserved. Those are the words that have been preserved. You go through all those verses, Amos, about the famine that's going to be taking place. We're getting closer and closer to that famine. You know, do we understand how important those words are about how the importance of a King James Bible? The problem here for people is the word only. Only. It is our only source of doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. It's the only place we can go. I don't even recommend going to get books about the King James Bible. I don't recommend people reading Dr. Reckman about the King James Bible. I don't want people to read me about the King James Bible. I want to show them in my stuff the King James Bible, the scriptures that they need to look to. That's where you turn to. Now, here's something that most people haven't done anymore. We did this back in our early days. You've got to do your own comparisons with Bibles. You know, get on the site and find the verses that you should compare, like the 2 Timothy 2:15, 16. How can they say what they say? And you keep looking at these verses. You see some verses that are missing. You see verses that have changed the words. And you wonder, why can they say that? And then you start getting this attitude towards these Bible verses. Boy, these are really bad. It's not that they're just not King James Bible. They're really bad. You get in there and you find out that there's, I think I got about 10 verses or so, that are absolutely opposite of what the King James Bible says. How can something be made better? You know, God didn't quite say it quite right for us today and all this kind of stuff, you know. And they find out that God was 100% wrong, so they reversed it totally. And most of that stuff is in the Old Testament. So when you're looking back to the Old Testament in these different Bible versions, you don't realize that you might be reading something that's just totally the opposite. And you've got to come to a point where I just don't trust them. Sure, you could find some stuff in an NIV that, you know, that's interesting. Yeah, did it say it better? I've been through that. I don't trust them. I don't trust a modern pastor today. I don't trust, especially these denominational pastor guys. I just don't trust them. Nice people, probably nice, well-written books, nice authors, good writers, blah, 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 blah. But they're wrong. Where are they wrong? I don't care. They are wrong in there. Now, you can attack my stuff, but the only way you can attack my stuff is to show that what I said while I do that verse, the verse is wrong. I do my best to keep my stuff, my personal stuff, out of this thing. Can you trust me? No, you can't trust me. But can you trust what I say? I'm hoping so. That's what you're supposed to be able to trust in a pastor, the fact that what he says about these Bible verses is true. Well, remember, we did an average one time, I think it was an average 100 and some, or 85 verses or something in a sermon. I mean, my sermons should be scripture, not me taking one verse and talking about it for 45 minutes or whatever. Okay, so if you haven't done your own comparison to these, get down, get a couple, get an NIV and an ASV and give it to your kids and family and sit down and do it. And by the time you're done, you're going to go, man, this is serious stuff. You will really learn to shun and despise these Bibles. Now, keep going here. So I think that was number two. You must do your own comparison. Number three, people are going to be offended. It's just they are. If you study, listen to the series of sermons or whatever, or just read, we went through Acts, and we studied the life of Paul. Not just the doctrine, but the life that he had. You know, Paul was a rough guy, but what he told people is what made him mad. So, we don't, and this is the modern Bible believer and Ruckmanite type pastor guy today. They think that they need to be offensive. So they talk rude and crude, you know, and they make you mad. No, that's not our goal. That is not what Paul says. Paul says we're not to strive, not to argue with them. Just, you know, it's going to happen. They are going to be offended by it. It's going to happen. We can't help that. But just make sure it isn't us that's giving them a reason to be angry. If they don't want to talk about it, then don't push the issue. I said, here, just go get, look in your Bible and see what Acts 8:37 says. Write back to me what Acts 8:37 says. But I tried to crack open the door just a stitch. I'm not preaching hard at them. You know, been there, done that. And it doesn't work. But you've got to let the Scriptures do the work. Here's what we forget. We forget that it's the Spirit of God that's behind this King James Bible. It's the Holy Spirit there. So when you study a different Bible version or a different book or whatever, you don't have the Spirit of God behind it. When you quote somebody a scripture, King James Bible scripture, if that's what you're doing, that will have the Spirit of God behind it, and their spirit, the flesh spirit or whatever, the flesh and the spirit or the spirit of the devil or whatever, it will conflict. John talks about the fact that the Spirit of God is there to convict people. You know, it's there. So it does it only through the Scriptures today. That's what it's always ever done. And these Bible versions are dead. There's no life in them. There's words, but there's no life in them. So it's not through versions. It's not through books about the Bible. It's through the Scriptures that the Holy Spirit works on people. And that's what we have to realize. It's not us. It's not us that's going to convince somebody. It's the Spirit of God that's going to convince them. You might not convince them for 10 years. You might lose your friend for 5 years, 10 years, and never see him again. I know whoever told me the thing about the Paul, it was at least 25 some years ago. He'll never know that I am doing what I'm doing now. Okay, so just realize what's going to happen is going to happen. People will be offended. Just don't be offensible. And it's the Spirit of God that needs to work in these people, not our convincing. Okay, here's another one. In 1 Thessalonians, dig it up if you don't mind. 1 Thessalonians, I've said this 1,000 times. 1 Thessalonians, I'll dig it up real quick here. 1 Thessalonians tells us that we don't need to just tell people. This is the hard part. We need to show people. Show them what? It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. If you do that in your personal life, you're going to change what you wear. You're going to change where you go. You're going to change what you watch. It's just going to happen. You're not doing this to show yourself approved. Don't look at it that way. You're doing this because you're realizing that you're going to please God. You realize this now. And it's good for you, even health-wise, whatever. So if you do that in your lives, because Paul and his words here entered into you, if the risen Christ is in you, and these things are important, the only reason you're going to get this stuff is because you're reading your Scriptures. The Spirit of God is not going to tell you how to do this unless you read your Bible. This whole concept for modern Christians is that we're being led of the Spirit. We are led in the Spirit today through the Scriptures, not through some feelings, not through some blind guidance. I don't know how to get that across to people, but you've got to be reading your Bible to be led of the Spirit. Anyway, let's keep going here. So we need to show them a changed life. You can tell them all you want, but if you're still, doing what you're always doing, you're still watching the garbage shows and they come over and they see that. You're still tipping the booze and they still see that. You're still talking dirty. They still see you, dressing immodest. They still see you visually not in control of your weight stuff, which is what I got to deal with. If you're, whatever it is, if they don't see some of that changing, you got nothing to tell them. Other than, well, Christ has got it covered. So then they start looking at you like, well, then so you can just go live the way you want. Well, yeah, but there are strings attached to our liberty. But they don't understand that. If we really want to witness to somebody, they have to see a change in our lives. They have to see you dressing modest. They have to see you standing up to other worldly ways and not doing them. Otherwise, really, I don't think we have anything to tell them. They got to see something change. Okay, another one. Like I said, make them hungry. Like I said, I said to this one guy in a superintendent, I said, take Acts 8:30, said, go look at it and see what it says. And I'm hoping he comes back and says, well, I couldn't find it. Well, yeah, did you? And hopefully that's an open door. Okay, understanding that understanding only comes from the King James Bible. Now let's finish it up with this. If you're having, here's this modern phrase, relationship with God. How they say that? Do you have a relationship with Christ? They have no idea what they're talking about. But if you have the risen Savior as your Savior and not another Jesus, and if you're reading your King James Bible, rightly dividing, you know what Christ is telling to you, you know what Christ is telling you about. And it says in Ephesians chapter 4 that you're hearing from Christ. Okay, with that in mind, you tell him you're going to go to the devil's words or these other Bible versions or these other people that aren't preaching the rightly dividing truth, going to go to them for wisdom and understanding. You tell him that. Because, see, if you've got him, then you've got a relationship with him. You tell the risen Savior in your life that I don't understand what you're telling me, Jesus, so I'm going to go to the devil. I'm going to go to a pastor who doesn't rightly divide. I'm going to go to a modern Bible version who has attacked your words, taken out your deity, and changed words and changed doctrines. I'm going to go check that out to see if I can understand what you're telling me. See, that's what we're doing if we do that. You tell him that you're going to shun what you're telling me. Jesus, I'm going to shun what you're telling me. I'm going to go to them. And he says to you, wait a minute. I'll show you what you need to know, but you don't trust me. You're going to the world. You're going to the wisdom of the world. You're going to biblical psychologists. You're going to modern pastors who are ministers of righteousness, the fault of the wrong righteousness. You're looking for the words of another Jesus to help understand the truth. It's a trust thing, isn't it? You've got to trust your King James Bible. You've got to trust that King James Bible is going to get through to you. Now, you might not understand it. Romans chapter 6 took me a little while to really grasp. It takes some time sometimes into that deeper meat stuff. But it's not impossible. It's not hard to understand. If you're having troubles, well, it'll come. You'll grow. So, does that make sense? I mean, we just don't trust the Word of God still. We trust him for our salvation, but we don't trust him for our walk, and we don't trust him for our understanding. It comes. I still think. Let's look at, and we'll finish this up with Timothy here, because I know this is going long for everybody. If we go to look at Timothy here, it's 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy, what's it there? 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. It says in verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient. We want to show them stuff. We need to be patient, take your time, don't make them mad. They're going to get this. It's hard enough for them to be told that their Bible is not God's Word. They don't think about it that it is God's Word. Their pastors don't teach them that. But boy, once you attack them, they'll still stick up for what they don't know they believe. They have no idea what they believe, but they're not going to take an attack. I've learned that. Verse 25. And here we go. Now, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. And this is them. Well, this is also us. We oppose ourselves. The devil uses ourselves to attack ourselves. You know, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. So that's our problem. We've still got snares from the devil that we just can't get out of. So we turn to another book, to another version, to another pastor, to another person, to another somebody out there in the religious world that we're supposed to despise and destroy the magnificence of. We're supposed to shun, withdraw, and avoid. And we go out there for our understanding. Think about it, you know. We just got to trust. That if we just, I believe this wholeheartedly, that if you just come to the point where you're just going to study a King James Bible, that's all you want to learn from, I think God will show you more stuff. I honestly believe in my life that because I went to this King James Bible only, and to Paul only, even though we still, you know, Genesis to Revelation, but the only part, God rewards that with more understanding, deeper understanding, riches of understanding. But you got to claim. Acknowledge the truth. What's the truth? It's the King James Bible. It really is. It really is the words of God's mouth, the risen Savior, from Genesis to the Jews, you know, the Great Commission, and now Paul. Then the tribulation's already in there for people. That's our only source of doctrine. Reproof. Who wants reproof? But that's why you don't want to read your Bible sometime, because you'll get reproved. But it's the only place for our correction. And if you don't understand the correction, don't go to another Bible that's actually taken it out. Stick to the King James Bible. The correction's there. And then instruction in righteousness. It's all there. We don't need to go anywhere else. If you don't have a pastor, if you lose your website, or you don't need this stuff. You need your King James Bible. It's all there for you. I'm just there to help you get it, if even that. I'm just there because I started this thing for my family. So we can have, you know, there it is. I got studies on there. If they're interested, there they are, kind of a thing. So you don't need me. You need a King James Bible. That's all you need. This is all I've got. This is all I want. I don't want anybody to give me books about religion. A church, I've read them from my family. They've got them in their little book, and I kind of pick through them a little bit. One of them I looked at recently was the Ten Commandments for today. What? And I read through that thing, like, what is this guy trying to say? I have no clue. So it's really, these people have an unknown God. So we don't need to go to their books about their unknown God. They have no idea what they're talking about. And if they take the Word of God and correct it, that is the devil's book. Ripinger came up with probably the book that really got me started as far as the dangers of the versions, is that they're New Age Bible versions. They're of the devil. This is serious stuff. It isn't just man tweaking them like I first thought. It's a serious issue. How do you get another Jesus, another gospel, and another spirit? It's got to come from another so-called Bible. So those are some thoughts I have. You know, we just can't trust them. You can trust a King James Bible. And if it doesn't make sense, you don't understand it, it'll come. You know, it start, you know, the verses I talk about, these are key verses. You got to understand those key verses. 1 Corinthians 13:10, that which is perfect has come. You know what that means? This Bible's finished. We don't need to go to signs. We don't need to go to these lying wonders, that's what it's called. This world is being prepared for the tribulation, as being prepared for a religion that will be worldwide. I despise this stuff. I despise religion. I despise it more now after I've been with my family for a couple of days, went to the Crazy Horse Monument, watched them do a little light display and do some exploding of rocks. Well, the exploding of rocks took about half a minute. And the video that showed on the wall, it's on the rock itself, was laced with demonic pictures and symbols, and all these people are going, oh, this is marvelous. And the Indians are whooping and hollering because they know what they're doing. And the white people don't. And it's just demonic. Walking around in a circle while you meditate, that's a demonic thought. Have I told them that that's a demonic thought? No. So it's just a time, it's patience, it's long-suffering. And I don't know, it's a tough thing, isn't it, to want to witness to people what you've learned. It's hard. Why can't people grasp the King James only thing? Well, these are people that have never had it before. Those of us that are of elderly age, we come from a King James only era. And people like Jeanette, who are 70, 80, 90 years old, you know, she was around when it was only the King James Bible. Right? No, it's just something you got to, you read what happens, and it's changed over the years. I'm from a time where if you told somebody that NIV, you showed them some of the mistakes in NIV, they would get upset and go, yeah, you're right. They switched to King James Bible. Now their pastors have taught them to hate the King James Bible. No, I hate the Bible versions. I despise them. I won't turn to them for 1 ounce of help. And I think God has, what can I say, you know, blessed that thought. God will show you that Bible. You just got to trust Him and Him only. The Bible works in them that believe, and it'll work in your life. When you show it to somebody else, it's still going to work in them because they don't believe, but it's going to be a conviction. It's going to be showing that the law, remember He says there in Galatians and Corinthians, He talks about how important the law still is to a lost person. I think one of the things we have a hard time reminding ourselves is that these so-called Christians today, in these modern Bible versions, these modern churches, I believe the Scriptures tell us that they're not really saved. They have another Jesus from another gospel with another spirit. So you're probably not talking to brethren who should understand when you tell them this stuff. You got to start at the foundation. That's the King James Bible. Their Bible doesn't even say that words are preserved. Their Bibles don't even say they're rightly divided. Their Bibles don't say anything this King James Bible says. It's much more different than you realize. Okay, so I'll stop there. There's my tag when it comes to the King James Bible. And for the folks that, I hope I didn't make anybody mad. I hope the time changes aren't going to make everybody mad. But you know, I still don't like to bother people and make them upset or anything. But you got to kind of understand the situation. I move into the central time zone, and I want to start a little earlier anyway so we can have more time for this stuff that we want to talk about. I've got some things I'd like to do a live sermon now. I just keep things happening in the news and the politics. It just makes me want to teach the Bible. So listen, folks, look at what's going on. Isn't it just amazing? And emails get me thinking about stuff too. So I don't want to eliminate my live chit chat, or what you want to call it, talkings or whatever, teachings or whatever. But I do want to go through these cassettes. Well, that's old fashioned. Go through this How to Understand the King James Bible and what's in the Old Testament for us. We'll do that tonight.